Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Odyssey Sports Station. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing on what. You ain't writing nothing.
No, you ain't.
He ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm getting no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I'll make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble and dust, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say,
you better run. Yeah, I
morning, everybody. Happy Monday. It's a little dreary out there, but I hope you're having a good day. Today on the radio show, let's see, it's Monday, so we got Dan Devine, your man Devine from Yahoo. He'll talk to us about the NBA. We needed Minnesota to win that first game, didn't we?
Oh, I definitely think so.
Like, that's what we needed. Because
yes.
Now it's...
Now you feel like,
it's
oh.
On. Yeah, what's happening here, right? And our old friend Mike Conley, you realize he was plus 20 in the game. Our old friend Mike Conley.
I mean, to me, it's an interesting series from the aspect that Denver's not very deep, and Minnesota is really deep.
It's incredible.
And then it's Anthony Edwards.
Jokic says, he says, what can they do? And he says, you know, with the depth, because they're whatever, they got one big guy after another to throw at him. He says, well, we could duplicate a clone of myself that can be fresh when they sub another guy.
And that feels like that might take some time.
The cloning,
yeah.
The duplicating.
I don't feel like we're quite there yet, but maybe.
That would be something, though, wouldn't it? If they could,
if you had,
between
yeah.
games, because the biggest adjustments
correct.
Are between games one and
as
two.
Ever, as
and if
knows.
The adjustments could be
we're gonna
cloning
Jokic.
Nikola
so
Jokic.
We can always have him on the floor
that
fresh.
That would be a mind-blowing mm-hmm. adjustment. But anyway, we'll talk to we may talk a little bit about the NBA later in this segment. But we'll certainly talk about it with Dan Devine. And then again with Chris Harrington at 10 o'clock. Chris spent the weekend down by the river. And evidently, it was quite a fun event. The first River Beat Music Fest down by the river. The Fugees showed up.
Yes, Lauryn Hill did
show up, and so that was good. And you can read about all about that at the Daily Memphian. Chris will join us to talk about that and the NBA as well. So we got Dan Devine, then we got Chris Harrington. What's the best thing of all the things you witnessed this weekend? What's the best thing you saw?
I thought the Kentucky
Derby.
In
person or
I thought the Kentucky Derby was awesome.
So
that,
great.
That race was so fast.
It was tremendous.
The pace, everything. And then when you consider not a photo finish between one and two.
One,
a
two,
photo
and
finish
three.
For one, two, and three. That was insane.
Now, Claire and I were watching it and ended up standing up, you know.
Yes.
You know, like you're standing up looking at it. Who's going to? And the damnedest thing is, so much of it is, and you can tell, of course, I'm a handicapper here. So much of it is the ride that they get, right? Or the pathway, like the trip. That's it. The trip that they get is like for Sierra Leone.
Yes.
Sierra Leone had to do a lot of work.
Correct. Just to get into the
pack. Just to get there. And then they're slamming against each other. Again, technical horse term,
yes.
I think. Sierra Leone and Forever Young banging against each other. As Mystic Dan.
Correct.
He's got a clear shot. You run that race 100 times. How many times does Mystic Dan win? Not many.
I mean, that's kind of the other thing. It's like, it's also with there being 20 horses.
Right.
That's so many horses.
We are breaking it. We are breaking it.
Well,
down.
No, but like that is.
So
like
that's the best thing you saw.
I in terms of just watching that.
Anything you there was actually.
I mean, game seven. Both game sevens were great.
That's the thing. Well, we had multiple game sevens. We had game sevens in hockey.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
I was saying the hockey game sevens were great.
So we had the Bruins beating the Leafs in a game seven. We had Dallas beating the Las Vegas in a game seven.
Yes.
We had. Well, I guess the Dallas Clippers, that was six.
So yeah, that was not actually a game great seven. Too.
But we had a Cleveland Orlando. That series has not been interesting at all. I mean, whatever. No one cares about that series because irrelevant.
I told you. I think it. I'm convinced it's a simulation
but
on a soundstage.
They did what they could to make it interesting by getting to a game seven and then Orlando taking a big lead.
Yes.
So we had that game seven. That was actually kind of a lot.
The only thing I was a little annoyed by was Saturday afternoon. It mm-hmm. felt like we just decided we're only watching the Derby. Like, I was like, you look at the schedule, it's like, we could be having games right now. And I felt like
there's a lot of windup to that thing.
Yeah.
There's definitely a lot of windup to that thing. But on the other hand, which we're going to get to the roast here in a minute, which is longer than it needs to be, the Derby broadcast or a roast?
I think the roast was pretty long.
So, two of the things that I saw that were great. One was I saw Connor and Catherine at the Sea Isle 5K.
Oh.
She ran the Sea Isle 5K.
Good for Catherine.
Gabe, who represented that he would be there. We all live in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
We all live right here. Gabe represented that he would be there. I didn't believe him for a minute, honestly, when he said it. And he was there. I ran the 5K, Jeffrey.
And? How's the knee?
Knee is fine. I don't run many 5Ks. But I did run the 5K, and I got under 8 minutes. I ran like 7:50 or something like that. So I'm doing the damnedest I can to beat all the other old people, right? Like I'm seeing if there's any other old people, and I'm trying to catch them.
You're scouting the field.
And I'm scouting the field, and at my age, it gets to be easy. You just want to run faster than the other people who are
right, balding
or have braces on their knees or whatever else. And so And there's hills in Sea Isle. There's actual hills. So I think I have beaten all the other old people and I'm crossing the line, and what do I feel? I feel like I'm going to throw up literally as I cross the finish line.
Yep.
I literally had to erp it back.
I have a baseball 2-minute mile. For some reason, our coach thought you needed to be able to run a 2-minute mile under like 14 minutes to play baseball. And I, like, literally, I remember.
So anyway, I did. I upchucked. But yep. I made it past
been
the
there,
finish line to the lawn nearby. And then what is the word? I spewed, as they would say.
Blue chunks, yeah.
So that is not the best thing I saw. Is that, but did you, like, practicing football? Like, yeah, I mean, practice till you, like, we ran gassers till we threw up. Is that a thing?
I've had it. There was a circuit day of, like, football training where that happened once, and then the only other time I can remember doing is the 2-minute, yeah.
But I think the best thing I saw, honestly, the Derby was there, but I went to see Fall Guy.
Mm, the movie.
Yeah, now it's my kind of movie.
Yes, it's a pure popcorn flick.
It was just incredible fun.
It's like winking at the camera that it's a pure popcorn
flick. It is a rom-com. And so there's no particular stress involved in the whole thing, which I, you know, and it was like you got the biggest star in the planet. Like, actor division, Ryan Gosling is it, right? There's no...
He's in the conversation if he's not.
He's
the
it.
One.
Like, yeah. I don't think there's a female equivalent to Ryan Gosling either. Like, once there was a Julia Roberts, right? This time you have... I think his co-star, Olivia Munn. Is that her name?
Emily Blunt.
Emily Blunt. I'm
it's
sorry.
John Krasinski's wife.
Emily Blunt. Yeah,
yes.
Emily Blunt. Sorry, I'm an idiot. Emily Blunt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's great, but it could have just as well been the star of the Barbie movie who was the co-star.
Margot Robbie.
Yeah, thank you very much. Or, right, it could have been any number of charming,
yes,
leading ladies. But
Robbie might be kind of there.
You think she's it?
She might be there.
Anyway, it's great fun.
Sydney Sweeney's the one that they're trying to
turn
into that.
It gladdens your heart. And the problem with it is it didn't bomb, but it did 28 million, okay?
I'm assuming it didn't meet the expectations.
Well, the expectations were 30 to 40 million. But here's the thing. This is the bad news, is that this is considered the start of the summer box office season,
okay,
right? And this was the lowest start to the summer box office season since 1995. The movie cost $200 million to make. You've been seeing ads everywhere. They've been everywhere, right? You've seen Ryan Gosling everywhere promoting it. And they bring in $28.5 million. It opens in 4,002 theaters. It is the... And it doesn't bomb, but it's disappointing. That's what you would say. It's disappointing. And the lesson here is... The problem is, the lesson for the studios is... Don't do original stories. It's kind of not original because there wasn't... But this is basically
this would
an original
be their
story.
Argument of this is why we keep...
This is why.
Yes.
Well, in fact, yes, it is the first time in basically two decades that the summer season didn't start with either a superhero or a sequel.
Right.
Right? And so for last year, for example, Guardians of Galaxy 4, right?
Was it 4 or 3?
I'm reading that it was 4.
Okay.
118 million. Guardians of Galaxy 4.
And the weekend.
You can't even keep track whether it's 1, 2,
correct,
3, or 4.
I mean, I did see it,
but it
I
gets 118 million.
Was.
Whereas this one, new story, megastar, everything. And so it's going to be, they're going to say, we can't do original stories. We just got to give them, Guardians of the Galaxy 11.
Right, but I would also argue, you also gave us Barbie and Oppenheimer last summer.
That's true.
Those seem to do pretty well.
No, those are originals that did very well. Anyway, I would urge anyone who likes if you like a rom-com, it's a rom-com. It's a tremendous date movie, as I would say. But I expected, like at the Paradiso, it was on 3 screens. At Ridgeway, it was on 1, and I expected it to be kind of packed. We went to Ridgeway. It was not only not packed, it was not even particularly well attended. So anyway, go see Fall Guy as a public service. Go see Fall Guy as a public service. All right, the other thing that I didn't see, it went on for 3 hours. The Tom Brady roast went on for three hours.
It was
hours.
Entirely too long.
You came back and caught and watched a bunch of it?
Correct. So I've gotten through Belichick's segment, which I think was about 2 hours in.
Okay, which is 2 hours
in.
Correct.
So there's still plenty more after that.
And is Brady sitting up there on that chair the whole time?
So it's not. So they. This is not like it used to be with the roast, where you would have like a guy sitting like literally on a throne.
Right.
So there were two. Basically, there were like two rows of seats with the podium in the middle.
Right.
So like they're on like wings. Brady is sitting
to the left of the. As you look at the podium,
correct,
to the left, I saw the chair,
correct,
there,
and that's where he's sitting, and then. He's sitting there, and it was like Gronk was next to him. Kevin Hart was kind of in the middle of them. And then the Patriots players were basically on the stage, whatever, to the podium's right, and the comics were to the left.
Okay. So I want you to, on a scale of 1 to 10, I've selected some of the relevant jokes from the proceeding, okay? 10 being funniest joke in the history of the world.
Okay.
And 1 being a bomb, total
right.
bomb. I want you to grade some jokes for me.
All right.
Okay, this is Belichick. People have said it. Tom and I butted heads a lot. And in a way, that was true. But it was hard to butt heads with Tom because it was so far up Alex Guerrero's ass.
6.
What do you think of that?
I would give it a 6.
Solid joke.
Yeah.
Okay. Bob Kraft. Like many family reunions, there's some people here I'm desperately trying to avoid. Coach Belichick, good to see you.
Fine.
Fine.
Yeah,
you're giving it a 4?
Yeah.
Okay. This was identified as a joke, but it didn't seem, well, okay, I don't want to prejudge the audience. The NFL could have saved the NFL could have saved the $200 million it spent investigating Deflategate.
$20 million. Yeah.
Because, quote, I would have just told you I effing did it.
Yeah, so that was Brady.
Yeah, that was Brady.
Yeah, and then people, like, started running with... The other thing that was weird was there were, like, NFL people that were, like, quoting the roast and acting like that this was, like, news breaking. It's like, it's a roast. They're jokes. Like,
right. All right, here's Drew Bledsoe.
Mm-hmm. Bledsoe was pretty good.
Who, of course, you saw Bledsoe.
Yes, Bledsoe was like first or second.
He lost his gig to Tom Brady.
Correct.
Right? Yeah. He went to the Buffalo Bills.
While in the hospital, yes.
Bledsoe. There were rumors that Coach Belichick was going to be here tonight. Turns out he has some time on his hands. At least when I got fired, somebody else wanted me.
That was a good joke. I thought it was like a 7.
You're giving that one a 7. How about this one from Belichick? I'm honored to be here at the Roast of Tom Brady on Netflix, not to be confused with the Roast of Bill Belichick on the 10-part Apple's TV series.
That was a good joke as well.
I think that's a good one. Yeah. I like that one. I think it's a good one.
The other problem is some of these, like, he didn't, like, nail the delivery.
No. That's funny. I read it, and then I watched the clips.
Correct.
And that one, he totally, it correct. Was not well delivered.
Right. And you could tell, like, they were nervous. Like, it was a full house.
So it did get a little tense, evidently.
Oh yeah, like so right off the bat.
At one point, a joke was made about Bob Kraft and massages.
Yes,
and that was
Jeff Ross.
Jeff Ross, and Brady stands up.
Correct.
Walks over to Jeff Ross.
Yes,
and says to him, "Don't say that S again."
Correct. So he also says it basically into the mic. And so
you think it was a joke?
Well, like,
think the saying it was a joke? Why is that the thing that's off limits?
The only thing I could think of was he was saying, because he clearly wanted it to make the mic, which was weird to me.
Oh, I see.
And so I guess was he saying, like, he was telling everyone, if you've got Kraft jokes, don't make them?
Right.
But I mean, there's
don't make massage jokes.
Correct.
You can tell Kraft jokes. But they just
correct.
Can't be
do not,
massage
they cannot,
jokes.
Right.
Here's Brady. And this is talking to, referring to Belichick. He says, I've been out of the game for a minute, so I'm curious. How many Super Bowls have you won since I left? And then he follows up. He says, when I go to the Indy 500, I don't ask, hey, who gassed up your car?
There was a better metaphor, but like, I understood it, and, like, I was rolling with it because the key was, like, we probably gave Belichick a little too much credit. Like, does he deserve some credit? Sure. But in general, like, maybe it turns out the Patriot way was just Tom Brady.
So the comic Nikki Glaser?
She was fantastic.
Well, this is a good one. This is a good one. To Tom Brady. She said, you have 7 rings. Well, 8 now that Giselle gave hers back.
Correct. She was, I think she got the loudest reaction. Like
that's
hers,
a good one.
Her spot, like you could tell, there was also a key difference between when the comedians got up there.
So what is it? I'm curious about this. Don't you think comedians wrote all the jokes for all of the stars?
So they always.
And if they did, why is there, beyond the, I mean, the delivery, obviously, but why are the jokes better for the comedians?
Historically, what has happened is the comedians write their own bit.
Well, I would hope so.
Right. So they write their own. And then there's a staff.
Although comedians, by the way, have staff of writers. Like the biggest comedians, do they have writers on their staff?
The ones that we know now, probably not. But there's plenty of examples of well-known.
I mean, we know that Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon, they're comedians who do their shows at night.
Right.
And they clearly have a staff.
They have staff writers.
But if you're going on the road to do a show.
Usually if it's someone that's, like, there are big acts that buy an act from somebody or someone writes it and they just become the performer. Like that happens, but it doesn't really happen as much anymore.
It is funny, isn't it? Like for singer-songwriters, we definitely respect a singer-songwriter more than just a singer who's someone else who writes
correct.
A song. But it's not considered bad form to have someone write you a song and you perform it. Lots
right.
of people do that, right? For a comic,
it's viewed as
I would consider it cheating.
There's a reason
you're
why.
You're supposed to be funny. You're not supposed to be a mouthpiece, like a newsreader, like William Hurt in Broadcast News. I try to make as many 70s references as I possibly can.
Right. So there's a reason why, like, it happens, but you don't hear about it because usually what happens is they pay the person that they're buying the act from, and then they sign an NDA, and they can't talk about it.
Okay, so who
So then
who
there's,
do
like,
you
usually
think wrote Brady's jokes, wrote Belichick's jokes, like someone wrote those jokes, right?
Yeah, so I didn't make it to the credits, and what I was going to
oh,
see
Oh, do
was,
they do have credits?
Usually you have to have writers.
But they don't say, you know, Tom
right,
Jones
not, it was not, it,
wrote Mr. Belichick's
right, it's,
jokes.
But it's like,
they don't
it'll,
say that.
On the credits, it'll say writers.
Right, and then we'll see writers, and the writers means, yeah. Yeah, but the comics were better.
Yes, I thought so.
Okay, and then there were a couple. Listen, I'm down for, I think it's pretty much fair game to make fun of anything. You know, I'm it's comedy. It's supposed to be edgy.
Yes.
There is one place where I draw the line.
All right.
And that's at the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
That is at the Buffalo Bills. I cannot abide someone making jokes about the Buffalo Bills. And sadly, we had two from Tom Brady. This was tough, man. He said, you know, because there's rumor about him buying an NFL team.
Mm-hmm.
He said he's interested in buying the Raiders because, quote, I'm tired of owning just the Colts and the Bills.
Mm-hmm. But he threw the Colts in, too.
That does help.
Mm-hmm.
That does help.
And the Jets. They should have done the Jets.
At the time, it would have been too. It would have slowed down the. He owned everybody, owning the league, but they needed to get the shot in at the Bills. Here's the thing: owning the Colts was very different than owning the Bills during that period. The Bills weren't good,
right?
So he owned the Bills, and then he beat them every time he played, essentially, right? Owning the Colts at that point meant owning Peyton Manning
correct.
And the Colts, and of course, he didn't in the end own them, did he? Like, didn't Peyton get? Peyton won.
So
Peyton beat
record,
him in the playoffs to get to
Peyton's
the Super
record,
Bowl. And,
what gets left out is Peyton's record against Brady in the playoffs is better than you think.
Google it. Let's see if we can get that. Anyway, and then the other, and I just think it's out of line. It's punching down, man. He says the Bills fans, they call themselves the Bills Mafia. How are you the Mafia? At least the Mafia has a ring you can kiss.
Mm-hmm.
Painful.
That one hurt. That's a zinger.
It landed. It's a good thing they didn't have me up on the chair there taking these jokes. Anyway, if it's not handy, don't worry about it.
All right, so I'm trying to do postseason game log.
But generally, you know what this felt like a little bit? In a time when the NFL is on hiatus, it felt a little... This roast had the... You know, it was like the Jordan series during the pandemic. You know what I mean? Just a little break to give us something else, to watch. All right. In other news, there was the NBA over the weekend, and now we have the, you know, the final eight are set. In the East, you've got the Knicks and the Pacers, and you've got the Cavs and the Celtics. In the West, you've got, of course, Denver and Minnesota, which is already underway, and Oklahoma City and Dallas. What do you rank the series? Rank the series for me.
So right now, for me, the best series is Denver-Minnesota.
Clearly. It's possibility of, you know, we've been talking about changing of the guard. Right, we've been talking. This whole playoff season has been about changing of the guard. And I'm not saying you're going to be getting a changing of the guard from Jokic to Anthony Edwards, but it does feel like to see that 43 point performance in the playoffs. Like, doesn't it feel like the arrival? Like, aren't we watching something here? Isn't this a little bit even like when Jordan scored 63 to lose against the Celtics, even as he lost? It was like, oh.
You realize you're watching something different.
Yeah, here it is. Here it comes. And this is something we're going to be living with. And, you know, he is ascendant. He is taking his place atop the league. Or is it just like this is game one? You know, the truth of the matter is, He hasn't had a better playoff than Jamal. He hasn't had it than Brunson, than Jalen Brunson. You know, we don't say the same thing about Brunson.
No, but there's
three straight.
But there's
games
something
of 39
about
or
what
more.
You're watching that's
no,
different.
It's young. He's 22.
Well, and then there's also like he's hitting shots. Like in the Sun series, you're realizing like Durant was just like laughing at some of the things. There's just something eye test wise that's saying.
When they are recognizing what they are seeing, right? Like he is acknowledging what is happening here. And the way he did it, so he comes out. And like we were intrigued about this series before it began. They're like, ah, I wonder if Minnesota's going to be able to, you know, they match up well. They're big, you know. There's Gobert and a bunch of long bodies who can stop Jokic. They're in the backcourt. Like, how's Jamal Murray going to handle the length? Right, like Anthony Edwards is great, not just on the offensive end, but he wants to guard. He can guard. He's physical. Like he's. Like, unlike Ja, for example, he is truly a force on both ends. And so we were intrigued by it, that series. But we needed Minnesota to win the first game to be really hooked, right?
No question.
And I think they themselves, they went out in five last year to Denver. And I think they themselves needed this game to, like, to believe a little bit, right? So he comes out, and what does he do? They get off to this 18-4 start. Why? Because Anthony Edwards has 11 of them.
Yes.
And by the way, and Murray's scoreless in the first half.
I mean, it was like, oh.
He's like, I'll take him, and I'll score, and I will stake us to a lead, and I'll shut him down.
Correct. And the whole time you're like, oh, this is not. Then it was like when Denver made their run and then took over, like you kind of thought like, all right, Denver's going to win this game kind of like they've won most of the postseason games.
Oh, well, and particularly because, yes, Denver has. Denver trailed LA in the first half of every game. It's
yes.
Like, are they playing with their food? Is that what they do? But what we know about Denver is they execute down the stretch, and they've been together. They've run the same plays a million times. They know each other better than any other team. They're a seamless offensive team. And so what happens at the end? Minnesota's better down the stretch,
correct,
too.
It was like they beat them at their own game.
Again, Anthony Edwards, of course, not Naz was a huge part of it, but Anthony Edwards, 4 of 5 in the fourth quarter, 14 points.
And it's like every time Denver needed a stop, he got the basket.
So do you believe they will win? Now, and here's the other thing. Do you need Denver to win tonight in order for this to be the most compelling series?
No, because I think even if Minnesota wins and wins dominantly, like I think that's a huge statement.
Yeah, but we want. I mean, I want Minnesota to win this year.
Like, if Minnesota wins in four?
Here's the other. Let me ask you this question. How do you feel? Are we just 100%, 1,000,000% rooting for Mike Conley? Is that what we're doing? Or is there a part of you that thinks, God, I want. Like, is he going to look back at that as the best part of it? I guess you just want Mike Conley.
No, I mean.
You just want him to win.
I have struggled with.
He's the best guy in the world. Why can't he get good things? He should be able to get good things. This is a great reward for Mike Conley. Great teammate. Again, just named teammate of the year last week. Had already won it as a Grizzly. Best person in the world. Best NBA player. Maybe exaggeration in the world. But wonderful, sweet guy. Cares about Memphis. Flew here. You just want Mike Conley to win, right?
It's been a struggle, but when he showed up the night and when they flashed the camera.
Why is it a struggle? Like, why is.
Because I don't find the Timberwolves.
Because you don't like them. You don't like the Timberwolves. You don't like Rudy Gobert.
Yes.
I don't find it a struggle.
I mean, the other thing is, like, you're starting to question. It's like, all right, this is a team that you had been ahead of. And now.
Well, that's the part. That is the part. Like, right now, like, there's a bunch of them. We've talked about this, but. You're now clearly, like, what we would concede, you don't as easily, that you're behind Oklahoma City right now. I think most people in the world would acknowledge they're behind Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City, is young, they're loaded, and they're favored to beat, and they're favored to beat Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
So, but even with Minnesota, you're like, okay, they're going to implode. It's not going to work. Karl Anthony Towns is a problem. Or they got money issues, and now you're like, okay, maybe we have to concede that Minnesota is absolutely not just ahead of us this year, but as a threat going forward. So now you're behind Minnesota and their megastar, and you're behind Oklahoma City and their collection of megastars. I do have a little bit of FOMO here.
I mean, to me, like, that's a huge part of it. Like that's
but maybe you want them to win and get their fill.
What you could hope for is that
Anthony Edwards should be so big, but I don't want him to go to L.A. someday. I don't want him to be happy where he is.
I think my argument would be you'd want a championship hangover.
Right, yes.
But
go ahead and get the championship
hangover. The other thing, though, I think that we keep doing this whole changing in the guard. One thing that I'm watching is next year Anthony Edwards' contract kicks in. And so they're going to get into this spot where
they're going to have a huge money problem.
Correct. And they've got an ownership
question. And they got an ownership fight.
Correct.
That's hopeful.
So to me, it's like the story might be like what we probably need to remember is like sometimes, man, when your best player's still on the rookie deal, like
that's the time to do it.
You better do it. Like we're starting to look like maybe the 2022 playoffs were the Grizzlies' best shot.
Conley again was plus 20 on the day. Gobert was plus 12. Again, imperfect stat. We're obligated to say that. Jokic was 32 points, 9 assists, 8 rebounds, but 7 turnovers for Jokic. And so we've got game 2, and that will be fascinating in a series that suddenly looms very, very large. Cavs, Boston, I think we're just assuming that Boston is going to win that one.
The East series don't really fascinate me that much. Because I kind of assume the Knicks are going to beat the Pacers, and I assume the Celtics are going to beat
Cavs. There's things you can worry about. I mean, you can talk yourself into thinking about it. I think it's really hard to talk yourself into the Boston-Cleveland series being competitive when Boston is 39-5 at home. When Cleveland hasn't won a road game in the last two playoffs, when they couldn't handle Orlando's feverish atmosphere, right? They couldn't win at Orlando. How are they going to win at Boston? I guess you think maybe without Porzingis, Boston is more vulnerable, but it's hard to talk yourself into that one. For the Knicks in Indiana, a little bit, New York has a really short rotation. Indiana plays the second fastest pace in the league. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, but
fatigue.
Typically,
like the Knicks had three players, Hart, Brunson, and OG, who averaged 41.6 minutes or more in the series against the Sixers.
Yeah, but so typically what we see is a team that's good and plays at a slow pace ends up getting control of the pace.
And let me ask you this. How's Indiana going to push the pace when they can't? When they're giving up defensive rebound after defensive when they're giving up rebounds, right? They have to rebound the ball to get out on the break, and the Knicks are going to kill them on the boards. I think you're right. I don't think either of those. It sets up that you could have Boston, New York, which is really interesting. In fact, you could have Boston and New York
in both the NHL,
NHL and the NFL. I mean, the NBA. I predict you do have it in the NBA, right? You're probably going to have Boston, New York there. New York, the Rangers beat the Hurricanes, so at least it's off to a good start if you want to have Boston and New York in the NHL. But then you need the Bruins to beat the Panthers, and they are not.
They're underdogs.
They are decided underdogs. So it's unlikely you will have Boston, New York, and both. I think Oklahoma City and Dallas is fun and interesting. Among other things, we haven't seen Oklahoma City challenged, right?
Dallas kind of had their number this year.
And so that's finally, Oklahoma City this, Oklahoma City that, Oklahoma City this. But what are they going to be like when they're challenged? Other things that happened over the weekend, we got to get to Dan. Again, we got Dan Devine, and then we got Chris Harrington. The other things we have not talked about over the weekend, we talked about the Derby being close, NASCAR race even closer. Kyle Larson beats Chris Buescher by 0.001 seconds.
I believe it set a record. It was the closest
in 76 years. Closest ever. So that happened. Not close, the Showboats. They're now 1-5.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. The Battle Hawks in St. Louis drew 39,000.
They're the one team that draws in this league.
That's exactly right. And it's because they know that they're trying to prove something.
Right. They're trying.
No one else is trying to. Everything else they're taking on face value, do we care about this football?
Yes.
St. Louis, it's do we want an NFL team?
Correct.
They're answering, when they show up, they're answering a different question.
Yes.
And particularly, doesn't seem like they even have a Major League Baseball team anymore.
Jeffrey. No, I mean, that's the other thing. the other thing is, no one wants to go watch the Cardinals.
No one wants to watch. They lose 2 of 3 to the Sox.
who we were discussing at one point might be the could have been worse than the Athletics were last year.
That's depressing. And then the Memphis Tiger football
team. Imagine watching it.
Memphis Tiger football team gets a couple of players from the portal. Reggie Grimes is a defensive tackle from Oklahoma. He had 43 tackles, didn't play a lot at Oklahoma, but stayed 4 years at Oklahoma. Oklahoma DT, that seems like it's a reasonable pickup, doesn't it?
I mean, yeah.
And then they got a kick returner from UMass. If I could, if I'm...
I'm usually not recruiting UMass's roster, but
I'm
maybe...
I am not... I'm just going to say it. I'm not an expert on the UMass kick returning situation. I'll leave that to others. But anyway, a lot happened over the weekend. Okay, here's what's going to happen here. We're going to take a break, and then Dan Devine will join us from Yahoo, and then Chris Harrington will join us straight up at 10 o'clock. We'll ask him about the Music Fest and about the NBA. Before then, I will tell you, despite the dreariness that you see outside, summer has arrived. Not officially, but let's be honest. It's here. Heck, in part of the country, the cicadas are arriving. And that means it's time to get the old call. Spruce up your spring and summer wardrobe. I'm going to my son's college graduation this weekend, and then the next weekend I have a wedding. So how about that? I'm going to a graduation and then a wedding, both of which events would require me to be spruced up and looking good as I can when I go to O'Call. The place is absolutely brimming with spring and summer merchandise. So whatever you have in mind, whether you're headed to the golf course or to a wedding or to a graduation, whether it's for a sport coat or from something from the Peter Millar collection, Faraday, the clothes are stunning and the people are... they're a breath of fresh air, honestly. In this world where it feels like services is deteriorating and, you got to figure everything out yourself, there they are to help you look your absolute best. Go for the clothes. Go for the people. Go for summer. It is O'Call. Back in a moment with Dan Devine, your man Devine. And we'll talk to him about the NBA. Then Chris Harrington. It's Jeff Gawkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
92.9 FM ESPN's Gabe Kuhn Show. Well, the only lineman on the radio, Gabe Kuhn. Weekdays from 4 p.m. till 7 p.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN.
The Gabe Show is the best in Memphis.
Gabe Kuhn on 92.9 makes my commute so much better.
92.9 is the spot, y'all.
I'm Bob Burke, founder and chairman of Burke America Parts Group, a family of brands that includes RepairClinic.com, an appliance and HVAC parts solution company that's grown into an international brand. Before AmericanEagle.com, we partially launched a new technology platform developed by another firm. American Eagle helped take our technology to a whole new level with digital marketing, software development, and business insights into our key markets, appliances, HVAC, and outdoor power equipment, and did so both on time and on budget. AmericanEagle.com has the resources, experience, and talent needed to produce solutions. Our new technology platform developed by AmericanEagle.com has produced tremendous results with higher traffic, conversion, engagement, and online revenue. If you have any home repairs you need to take care of, check us out at RepairClinic.com. If you need a world-class website or technology project, then I would highly recommend AmericanEagle.com.
Call AmericanEagle.com at 773-NETWORK. That's AmericanEagle.com, 773-NETWORK.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online at hims.com/radio. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation to determine the ED medication that's best for you. Discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and a range of treatment options, including trusted generic alternatives to the name brands, at up to 95% off. ED is personal, and at Hims, so is treating it. Just go to hims.com/radio and get connected to a licensed medical provider online for free. With zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations, To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio for your free online visit. HIMS.com/RADIO.
Life is fast and furious. Sometimes you need a boost. The Shotners can help with lipo B12 injections, increase energy, improve mood and sleep. It even helps with allergies. Or boost your immune system with our Tri-Immune Booster, packed with vitamin C and zinc. It gives your body a head start at fighting off illness. With three locations throughout the Mid-South, we can get you in and out quickly. The Shot Nurse is your wise choice.
Protection you need with a personal touch. The Shot Nurse.
It's the first day of the first grade, and she found a new best friend. It's a laid-back Sunday afternoon you wish would never end.
The homemade taste of bluebell and good friends gathered round. The good old days are being made right now.
Our cookie two-step ice cream is a creamy vanilla ice cream with hints of brown sugar, chunks of chocolate cream-filled cookies, and tasty chocolate chip cookie dough pieces. Cookie two-step has everybody's taste buds two-stepping, and one and two.
The good old days are being made right now.
For Bluebell ice cream at Gardner Supermarket in Corinth, Mississippi, and Nayef Supermarkets in Mumford, Tennessee.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you love your meals with a taste of exploration, check out the Latin Flavors event at Kroger. Embark on new culinary adventures with vibrant tastes and fresh possibilities. With Latin-themed inspiration and palate-pleasing recipes available in-store and online. It's the Kroger Latin Flavors event, now through May 7th. We hope to see you there.
And right now, you can save on fresh Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts. They're on sale for only $1.99 a pound with your card. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season on the free Odyssey app. That's AUDACY. Download it today.
Jeff's guests appear on the Frame Corner phone lines. Frame Corner, with expert custom and do-it-yourself framing since 1975 on Park Avenue in East Memphis. Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show, live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Dan Devine. Covers the NBA for Yahoo, Your Man Devine on Twitter or X, and the podcast is No Caprum, available where you get your podcast. Dan, welcome. What are we watching in the person of Anthony Edwards?
I think we are watching a man in full coming into his own in a very major way. I have a hard time imagining that there's a more confident human being on the planet Earth right now. Like, the level of self-possession of, not just of, I'm going to go into a series with, like, the best player in the world and, you know, the big bully, the defending champions, and I don't believe they have a single guy who has anything for me, and I'm going to show you that on the road right away. And in the course of doing that, I'm going to be the kind of, like, rising tide lifts all boats leader who is pumping confidence into all my other guys at age 22. Like, it's kind of remarkable to see I don't think that it's shocking necessarily. I mean, like, we've seen him, but, you know, you guys saw him in Memphis perform, have pretty big moments in that postseason series a couple years ago. You know, we've seen the evolution in Team USA and the All-Star and All-NBA berth, like, soon to be coming for the season. You know, we've seen the line keep ticking up, but it feels like it just kind of hit a vertical climb the last couple of weeks, and pretty special stuff.
So it felt like we needed, as consumers, we needed Minnesota to win that first game, because now it truly is. It was intriguing in advance, but now it's like, oh my goodness, what are we seeing here? So what does Denver do to respond? And is this a case of, you know, they trailed half against the Lakers every single game? They go down early to 18-4 in this game. Is this a case of Denver playing with its food and needing to get serious, or is it in fact a little more troublesome from their perspective than that?
Yeah, I think it's a little more troublesome than that, in that, you know, the recipe for Denver to sort of hit the gas and run away from teams has been, you give us the Jokic-Murray two-man game with Aaron Gordon lurking along the back line and shooters in the corners and spread the floor, and your defense just doesn't have anything that they can do with that. And the reason for that, often, you know, we saw that against the Lakers particularly, was, you know, Murray could kind of get wherever he wanted to go on the floor and operate with impunity. And when Murray is at his best, which he hasn't really been with the exception of, you know, a couple of fourth quarters and some major shots in this postseason, when he's able to really cook in that way, it creates so many challenges for a defense to be able to cover up. You know, too many for them to be able to plug every hole. Well, Minnesota is huge and athletic across every position, basically. They've got multiple point of attack defenders they can throw on Murray, and Murray doesn't quite look like himself. He's been dealing with, right, I believe it was an ankle and a calf strain, and he's been having issues, you know, from the end part of the regular season into round one. And if he's limited and mitigated, then suddenly, you know, it's like chopping one of the legs out of a stool. And when you're able to put Gobert, you know, sort of as a lurker behind the play, you'll have him guard Aaron Gordon, put size with either Karl Anthony Towns or Naz Reid on Nikola Jokic, it makes it a little bit easier for Rudy to play, hang back and play the lob, which takes away another big part of what Denver is able to do in crunch time. We saw that, I think it was around like 96-91. Rudy goes back and plays the cat and mouse, knocks the lob away. Huge play in that game. And the question with Minnesota was like, can you score enough? If you're going to be able to limit some of those defensive possessions, which we know that their size has given Denver problems, you know, even into the series last year, it was just, can you score enough with them? Well, if they don't have any answer defensively for Ant, and they can't make the Wolves pay for the other guys not making shots, and if Ant has the confidence that he's either A, going to just score himself, or B, keep setting those guys up for those looks, you know, they won this game pretty, you know, not comfortably, but they, you know, convincingly, yep, with the other guys not having a great shooting night. So, you know, I think if Denver needed a wake-up call, I think trailing in a series for the first time in the last two playoffs should certainly offer it, because Minnesota served notice. They're here to stay.
So Minnesota, I mean, most cognoscenti had them losing to the Suns. And, you know... not to point fingers, I think a lot of us did. So
myself, very much included.
I don't include myself as a cognoscenti, but you clearly are. So, so what? What is the revelation about Minnesota? Like, now that you see it all unfolding, it sort of feels inevitable. They got all these bodies, and they got this burgeoning superstar. What has happened that we didn't anticipate?
Well, for me, it was, I didn't believe that the complementary pieces would play well enough offensively to make Phoenix pay for throwing everything they could at Anthony Edwards defensively. I was like, if they're basically going to show the Giannis in transition wall of three defenders at Ant every time he's in the half court, then I think that, you know, it's going to force other guys to make shots, and I don't know that they can do it. And then they did it. And they did that, and then were able to cover up everything defensively with that size. The question wasn't, could they get enough stops? It was, could they score enough? And moving from that first series to the second series, I'm thinking, well, I do believe that the defense is going to be able to give Denver some problems, but I don't necessarily believe they're going to be able to score enough. And I don't think they're going to, like, clamp Denver down. So in game one, they were able to score enough. They were able to disrupt the offensive flow for Denver enough. And with Ant going for 43, and Towns having having a nice game as well, that was enough. So, and it doesn't have to be overwhelming, blow your doors off every night. It's just got to be enough four times. And my thinking heading into this series was, I need to see somebody beat Denver four times to believe it, because I've seen, like, it's not that I don't think Minnesota is capable, I just know what Denver is.
Right.
So that was kind of where I was leaning on it. And now Minnesota has said, okay, so now do you think we can do it three? Because we already did it the one,
right,
and we did it on the road, and now all we got to do is win our home games, and we're home free and six in this series. And it's making things awful interesting. I think what the state of Jamal Murray's, calf, ankle, lower leg is maybe one of the most important things in the entire postseason, right, because if they're able to disrupt him, and if Jokic is not, Jokic can counteract that because he's able to step out and shoot more threes, he's able to shoulder more of a scoring load, but they now need him, if Murray's a little bit mitigated, they need him to do everything. And there's no team in the NBA built like Minnesota to make that hard on him with all the size they can throw at him and all the off-ball help. It's getting really interesting really quick.
Here, it's you mentioned the legs of the stool. The like Denver's stool only has a certain number of legs. Like and they've been healthy all along. We've talked to here what it is. Here's health again that's cropping up to maybe have a huge impact on a series. All right, you've written about, you previewed the Knicks-Pacers series. I've tweeted it out. People can read it over at Yahoo or check it out on Twitter. And you say that, because I think most folks are just saying, oh, yeah, the Knicks are going to win. We're going to get Knicks-Boston. This will be fun. The only question is whether we'll also have New York-Boston in the NHL. But you think it'll be closer than that.
Yeah, I mean, I to the point where I started wondering, like, what am I missing? Because I'm hearing people say, like, oh, Knicks in five. The Knicks are going to smash them. I'm like, well, the Knicks just went through, like, a pretty grueling series.
Right.
And the Knicks are, by the end of it, we're playing, like, 6.5 guys. And, Julius Randle's out. Bojan Bogdanovic is out. Mitchell Robinson is playing minutes, but kind of, he's been, limited and limping around, in some of the physicality that they had against Embiid and the Sixers. And the Nuggets put the show on. Oh, sorry, the Pacers rather put the show on speed. They want to play in transition. It is a very, very styles make fights type of matchup, because nobody got up shots quicker than the Pacers this season. Nobody wants to play in transition more than the Pacers. And the Knicks were dead last in pace, dead last in average time to shot. They want to, grind the game to a halt and let, force you to guard them in the half court and let Jalen Brunson make every decision and operate with impunity there. And they are dramatically different styles of all-star point guard in Tyrese Halliburton and Jalen Brunson, but they are both all-star point guards. And, Pascal Siakam has sort of elevated the Pacers in a couple of different directions, but they're now not the terrible defense they were in the beginning of the season, where they've got to get to 140 to beat you. They now can play a little bit. They can play a few different ways offensively. They've got some more physical matchups defensively. I think it's going to be fascinating to see what OG Anunoby does in this series, because the Pacers and Knicks played three times this season, and OG Anunoby was not a Knick or on the court for any of them. So, where does he line up? I'm guessing he probably guards his old buddy Pascal Siakam to start, but are they going to try to move him over to Tyrese Halliburton for stretches? He guarded Embiid last round for stretches. Are they going to try to move him onto Miles Turner to take away the pick-and-pop game? I think tactically and stylistically, these teams are very different, but they can ask interesting questions of each other. And I think that, on a long enough timeline, I think the Knicks' physicality does wind up grinding the Pacers down, but I think the Pacers are going to take a pound of flesh along the way. People who think this is going to be a five-game series, I would be surprised if that was the case. I think the Pacers are good enough and can tax you enough offensively that this one's going to might go a little bit longer than that.
So in New York, I mean, the Knicks were so bad for so long, and then the Rangers have had their own struggles, whatever. I don't know. Like, what's the vibe of a town? Like, New York has a vibe of its own all the time. Like, can
sure.
you even tell any difference that this is happening in New York? Like, is there, I don't know how one would define it, but it seems like a good time to be a sports fan in New York.
Yeah, I would say the main indication I have that stuff is going on here, that it's going well and people are interested, is that as I'm trying to, hustle from press row down to the interview room at the Garden. I'm fielding a lot of texts from, like, my brothers and high school friends and a lot of people being, like, a lot of expletives and emojis and memes and things all happening at once. And I think the thing to remember with the Knicks, I mean, obviously, not a whole lot of success over the last quarter century in New York Knicks basketball, but I think there's a general sense, and you hear it sometimes when people talk about soccer clubs, like Barcelona needs to play a certain style of soccer, or Arsenal should always be this certain style of offensive team, this beautiful game kind of approach. The Knicks kind of always function best and make New York happiest when they punch you in the mouth. Like, the New York seems to respond best to a team that is physical and aggressive and wins with the accumulation of maximum effort that grinds you down over the course of time. That was the Patrick Ewing, Charles Oakley, John Starks era Knicks. To a certain extent, it was also the 99 team that was the 8th seed in that lockout shortened season and wound up making the finals. And the Knicks haven't had a whole lot of that sort of team this year, until the last couple of years. But now, you know, Brunson, the undersized maestro, Josh Hart never comes off the floor, Dante DiVincenzo rolling a blow up screens and then a bomb threes. Like, they've got guy after guy after guy that are physical in that way and that grind in that way. And I think that sort of scratches an itch in the City fan base to the point where now there is a love affair with this team, which then I think, of course, because of the way New Yorkers often are, breeds an overconfidence that I think leads to the Knicks in five that makes a guy like me say, I get it, but also pump the brakes, everybody, and then no one wants to pump the brakes. All gas, full steam ahead, and we'll see where that takes us starting tonight.
It is. The podcast is No Cap Room. He can read his stuff over at Yahoo and on Twitter at Your Man Devine. He is Dan Devine. Thank you, Dan.
Thanks so much, Jeff. Take care.
That is Dan Devine. This is exactly what you talked about, the overconfidence of Knicks fans.
Correct.
Right? But it's an interesting question. That stylistic, like, does New York like a team that punches you in the mouth? You know what New York would like? New York would like
a winner.
Like, in the end, but it does feel like, it is interesting how it feels like the Lakers and Showtime. Like, that franchise has a way that they want to be, in addition to being excellent, they want to be like that. The Steelers have a way of playing football.
Yep.
The
Ravens, I think, too.
The Ravens have a way of playing football. It's weird to me that the Knicks, that this is their brand, given that they're in Madison Square Garden in this glitzy, shiny city that is New York. And there's also, here's the truth. The grit and grind stuff is great when you're in Memphis and it's a reflection of the city and it's just fun to be competitive, right? There is a limit to how far punching you in the mouth is going to get you.
For sure.
You know what I mean? That team is lovable because it's scrappy and they get all their own misses. I think they get 39% of their misses in the playoffs so far this year. Like, it's crazy how hard they play. But then you're going to run it. Here's the truth. They love that team in New York. Would they rather have the Celtics?
Probably.
They wouldn't say that now. If you put it to a poll of Knicks fans, they would not trade rosters with the Celtics.
The thing that I'm watching, like, I think we can acknowledge, like, Brunson's very good, but, like, I'm watching to see, like, is this the type of guy that, like, truly is, like, we should be considering him as a top five player, guy that's capable of giving you a championship? Like, that, to me, that's kind of what I'm watching. My suspicion is he's really good, but not quite that.
Where's Anthony Edwards? Is that, like, why are we talking about him differently? Well, one's younger, and he's just emerging, and he's also this personality, and, like, everything about Anthony Edwards is, like, I actually was contemplating this morning. If you were starting a franchise, I had said all along, I mean, recently, you would have said Wemby, right? Wemby.
I think so.
But now, would you say Anthony Edwards?
I mean, there's still
you still have Jokic for a bunch of years.
I mean, Jokic isn't that old.
Yeah, but you well, I mean, is he 8 years older than I mean, I'll take another 8 years of Anthony Edwards and
I thought Jokic is 28.
Let's see what he is. One's 22, 29. So he is 7 years older than I'll take the 7 extra years that I get with Anthony Edwards. But whatever. I can see the argument for Jokic. I can see the argument for Anthony Edwards now, and I can see the argument for Wemby.
Well, I mean, there's also this reality of, like, we're about to watch The Thunder struggled against Luka. And, like, Luka could be able to go back to his second Western Conference Finals. Like,
Kyrie's guy playing. I don't love watching play, though. Just the joy of watching Anthony Edwards play versus watching.
Well, I think it's
Luka play.
There's something about, even though Anthony Edwards needs the ball in his hands, it doesn't feel like the game like grinds to
right.
a halt.
Right. No. He was as Dan said. The genius the other night was not just that he established the tenor, and then he got everybody else involved, and then when he needed to make plays at the end, he made plays at the end. He did the whole thing.
But I mean, to me, like there is a reality of like.
No, Jokic is awfully good, too. And by the way, none of these people are Ja Morant.
Right.
And I don't mean that as a defense to Ja Morant. I think Ja Morant should be out there just burning.
Yes.
Just burning to get back out here.
I mean, that's like, I just am thinking of it largely in the context of what does this mean about the Grizzlies?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. If you are getting something framed, if you want to get something framed, or if this is a time when, you know, we're making memories here with photos from graduation and memorabilia from your last day, your kid's sports jersey or whatever it is. And you can, like, that stuff will accumulate in the corner and it'll get ripped and lost and torn and whatever, kicked around. And or you can have it framed. And if it's framed, you'll have it forever. You'll be able to see it. And then it'll be something, a keepsake in your family forever. And at the frame corner, you can walk in and buy a frame. And they have beautiful frames at the frame corner, 5035 Park Avenue. But they specialize in custom framing. And so if you want something custom framed, you just bring it in there. You know, Dan Barron, who used to work here, brought in some fishing lures and some prints of fish. And, like, can you make – yes, of course they make it look beautiful. He literally sent me photos of what they did with it to say, hey, look at how great this is. And they're creative. They're professional. They're great at what they do. And that is custom framing to make my.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.